Turn, if you would, this morning to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13. We must admit, we are living in interesting days. Many are fearful. Others are frustrated. And some have grown furious. This week I've heard several times, and I'm certain you have as well, when will things get back to normal? I'll be honest with you, I've even asked myself that. When will things get back to normal? Now, I understand the context of that question. But I believe what we consider normal has, in some ways, contributed to some of the things that we see going on today. Let me explain it this way. Sadly, many today have become independent. Now, independence in most cases is a good thing. However, when people or a nation becomes independent from God, those people or nations are in grave danger. In this nation, we have, for the most part, turned our back on God. God's been removed from schools, and we wonder why school shootings take place. Many of those in leadership today are godless. Yes, godless, not godly, but godless people. Last Friday, Good Friday, our governor, Governor Northam, quietly signed into law a bill that forces public businesses and even private organizations to open women's restrooms, locker rooms, showers, and dressing rooms to men who claim that they are women. That's what our governor did. That's nonsense. That is pure wickedness. Not only did he sign that bill quietly last week, but he made a statement several weeks ago that would promote the taking of a child's life in an abortion attempt that the child was born alive. That's premeditated murder. And may we remember what God's word says about individuals in those positions of leadership. The Bible tells us in Exodus 18, verse 21, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens." Now, for those who might be tempted to say those instructions were given to Moses, I would follow with this question: would we think that God would want less of our leaders today than he wanted of those leaders then? I think not. Not only does our normal involve an independence from God, but our normal today has led to inconsistency in the work of God. So many today, when it comes to the spiritual things, are inconsistent. And sadly, many, the only time they pray is when they're in danger or they're in trouble or they're in great need. Many never read their Bible today or spend little time in their Bible. Many are in church if there's nothing else going on. And we wonder why many people's lives are up, down, and in such a mess. Understand, that's what inconsistencies produce. Inconsistencies produce chaos. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse number 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And we read in Luke 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Not only has our normal involved independence from God and an inconsistency in the things of God, but sadly, it's led to an insubordination to the Word of God. Understand, there are people today that are just blatantly disobedient to the Word of God. They've decided they're going to do their own thing and live the way they want to live. They do that which is right in their own eyes. And that's led to an impertinence. And that word means brazen or presumption. Many today believe that they can be independent from God and inconsistent in the work of God and the things of God and insubordinate to the Word of God without any consequences. That's brazen. It's brazen to me that a politician would get up and say, we'll keep a baby comfortable until we determine what we're going to do with that child. That's brazen to me. That's a false assumption. And sadly, we've been lulled to sleep, and this has become our norm or our normal. And may I submit this morning, this is not something we need to return back to. We need to return back to God. I want to share with you four thoughts this morning after we read the passage. But four thoughts this morning. We're going to consider the crisis. We're going to consider the cause. We'll consider the consequences. And we'll consider the cure. And we're going to consider these thoughts through the lives of those in Scripture. Notice, if you would, in verse 11 of Romans 13. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Notice, if you would, in verse 11, our text verse, these words. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It is high time to awake out of sleep. I believe we're living in a time of crises. I believe we're living in desperate days, dark days, trying times. As I said a moment ago, I believe there are many people who are frightened. Some have grown frustrated, and some have resorted to being furious. We're living in a time of crisis. The crisis is we're slumbering and sleeping when we should be sober and awake. There are several examples in the Bible of individuals who were slumbering and sleeping. We'll consider these, and we're going to consider these throughout the entire message. We'll consider the crisis, we'll consider their cause, we'll consider their consequences, and then we'll consider a cure. Well, we consider, first of all this morning, Peter. We all are familiar with Peter. We all know the stories of Peter. He was one of the three that the Lord took with him just before his betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he took them there and he instructed them that they were to watch and pray. As a matter of fact, we read that story in Matthew chapter 26. The Bible tells us in verse 36, Matthew 26, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Note that instruction there. "Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. He finds them asleep. "And saith unto Peter," I wonder why he didn't address the other two. "He saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch," that's the same instruction they had received earlier, an hour earlier. "Watch," but the Lord adds to that instruction, "watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, "Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Now we're going to look in just a moment at the cause of this. Well, we find here a crisis. We consider secondly, old Jonah. We know the story of Jonah. We find that story in Jonah chapter 1. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 5, we read these words. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Note that expression there. He left the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from, there's that expression again, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah had been directed by God to go to Nineveh, but decided to go to Tarshish. And while en route, a storm arose, and all the while Jonah was in the bottom of that ship, in the side of that ship, fast asleep. Again, we'll consider the cause in just a moment. But we consider another example, and that's the example of Samson. We know the story of Samson. Strong man. The Bible tells us in Judges chapter 16, verse 16, "And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head. For I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has shown me all of his heart. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought the money in their hand. Notice verse 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees. Samson was a man that God had raised up to take care of the Philistines, the enemy of God's people. God enabled him with great strength when that strength was needed. I don't believe Samson was a man walking about with muscles all over the place. I don't believe he was busting out of his shirt. I don't believe he looked abnormal at all. You say, why do you think that? Because they couldn't tell the source of his strength. If he had been a man that was muscle bound or overladen with muscle, it had certainly been clear. But they had to find out from Delilah what the secret of his strength was. But Samson was lulled to sleep. We'll consider two other examples. These were illustrations that the Lord gave in parables. The first we consider are the servants that we read about in Matthew chapter 13. Now we certainly know these parables were speaking about the coming of the Lord. But the Bible says in verse 24 of Matthew 13, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy, or his enemy, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Note those words, while men slept. One more example we'll consider. Again, this is one of the illustrations the Lord gave through a parable. This parable was about 10 virgins. It's found in Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, note these next words here. They all slumbered and slept. Both wise and foolish. They all slumbered and slept. Now in each of these examples, we see a crisis, which leads us to consider a second thought, and that's their cause. As we considered Peter a moment ago, what was the cause of his crisis or his sleeping? Peter was a man that was full of himself. Peter was a man that was very prideful, which led to, as we mentioned a moment ago, our norm. It led to his independence. Note the words that come from the mouth of Peter in Matthew chapter 26. Then saith Jesus unto them, all of you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. He was so convinced and so convincing. The Bible tells us, likewise also said all the disciples. In Mark's account of this same story, in Mark chapter 14, we read these words, beginning in verse 27. Jesus saith unto him, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently. That's Peter. He's arguing now with the Lord. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. And again, he was so convinced and so convincing, likewise also said they all. Peter, and again we're considering his calls for his crisis. Peter thought he was much more spiritual than he truly was. After all, he was the one that walked on water. No other disciple had done that. He was the one that jumped out of the boat and took some steps on the water. No doubt he reflected on that at times. Wow, I walked on water. None of these other guys did that. I walked on water. No doubt that had become a contributor to his haughtiness, his pride. We'll consider the consequences in just a moment, but we considered a moment ago Jonah. Here's a man who was a racist. A man who hated, despised Nineveh and the people of Nineveh. He wanted Nineveh destroyed. And his disdain for the people of Nineveh led to disobedience and insubordination. We talked about that a moment ago. Our new normal. We considered Samson. Samson was a man who assumed that he could do as he wanted and could associate with the wrong crowd and God's strength and presence would still be available. By the way, there are a lot of people that still believe that. They can live as they want and do as they please and God will still be around and God's strength will still be available. That's a wrong assumption. We'll consider his consequences in just a moment. But we also considered that illustration, that parable that the Lord gave us of the servants. These had been serving. The master had sowed the seed. We know clarification, the seed's the word of God. They had been serving with the master. And no doubt they had spent themselves in service with the master. They had grown weary in well-doing. Understand, we can be brought to a place of exhaustion and a place of drowsiness and sleepiness doing the right thing. We can grow weary doing right. Not only do the task of everyday life wear upon us, but also the pressure of opposition at times wears on us. We consider that final illustration of the virgins. Again, there were five wise and there were five foolish. The five wise brought oil for their lamp. The foolish did not. The five foolish, they procrastinated thinking there would be time or that the other virgins would share their oil with them. And then we understand the foolishness of their, or the folly of their foolishness in their procrastination. I think it's interesting, again, the Bible tells us that they all slept, the wise and the foolish. Again, we'll consider the third thought this morning, that's the consequence. We considered the crisis, many were sleeping when they should have been watching and praying. We've considered their cause, and in each illustration, there's a different cause. We consider the consequence. As we consider the consequences, we go back to Peter. Peter's pride left him sleeping, and his sleeping led to his brokenness. Notice, if you would, in Matthew 26 and Luke chapter 22, Matthew 26, verse 75, we read these words. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. There's a picture of a broken man. In Luke's account of that same story in verse 62 of Luke 22, we read these words, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. This is the man that walked on water. This was the man that was so quick to open his mouth before he engaged his mind. He wept bitterly. The thing that Peter disputed with the Lord. Can you imagine arguing with the Lord? Can you imagine arguing with the Lord in a vehement way? Peter, in essence, said, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. Everybody else may deny you, but not me. I'll die before I deny. The thing that Peter disputed was dispatched. He thought he was spiritual, but he failed to see his self-admiration. He didn't see the need to pray, but instead fell asleep. His pride led to his brokenness. May we never forget what we read in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, we read these words, pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. We read also in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, these words, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. Understand the pride of our normal is leading to our brokenness and will eventually lead to the destruction of this land. Note the consequence also of Jonah. In that passage in Jonah chapter 1, we pick it up in verse 5. The word of God said, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, little g, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. How ironic is that? You say, that must have been a coincidence. No, that was a divine act. The lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, What is thine occupation? Can you imagine that question being posed to Jonah? Jonah, what do you do? Can you imagine a preacher being asked that question? Because his life is not a testimony of that. By the way, that's one reason we're still having church. I've preached for years, God has faith to take care of us and to take care of His people. Why in God's name would we close the building? I don't want somebody coming up to me saying down the road, well, I thought you was a man of faith. Why'd you shut her down? They said, Jonah, what's your occupation? Interesting question, is it not? And whence comest thou? Where are you from? What do you do and where are you from? What is thy country and of what people art thou? Now it's interesting how he answers this. He not one time acknowledges the fact he's a prophet or a preacher. Not one time. The answer's right here. Here's how he answers those questions they pose to him. He says to them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven. That's the closest he got to be referring to himself as a preacher. I fear the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? The men knew. Now notice this. He didn't say this. The men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. Wow. Understand, those around us know when we're walking in his presence and when we're not. The consequences of Jonah's insubordination or his disobedience, he lost his testimony. The shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? He not only lost his testimony, those on the ship lost their wares or their possessions. And I suppose even on a humorous note, he lost his ride, or he was cast overboard. Understand, disobedience has a price tag. There are many reasons that people disobey, but it all goes back to what we considered a moment ago with Peter. It all stems out of pride. We disobey because we think our desire is more important than God's demands. And pride is the root of disobedience. And disobedience most often will destroy our testimony. We not only consider the consequences of Peter and Jonah, but we also consider the consequences of Samson. Because of his presumption or his assuming that God's presence and power would always be available regardless of the crowd that he kept and the deeds that he did. And by the way, if you study the life of Samson, he broke every one of the Nazarite vows that he had been given. Every one of them he broke. He cut his hair, or ended up cutting his hair. He was around and had touched dead carcasses. Every one of the Nazarite vows Samson broke. And as a result of his disobedience, as a result of his faulty assumption, he lost his discernment. The Bible tells us in Judges 16, verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Notice here, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He had lost his discernment. We're living in a day Sadly, where many have lost discernment. Don't you think for one moment that this nation can turn her back on God and not pay a price for it? Don't you think for one moment we can run God out of the school system and tell children they cannot pray or read their Bible and not pay a price for it? Don't you think for one moment that we can take the innocent life of a child from the womb of an individual and God not send the invoice? There'll be a price to pay. Many have lost their discernment. But not only did he lose his discernment, he also lost his freedom. The Bible tells us in verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. By the way, that's where we're headed. We are losing our freedom today. If you don't believe that, just watch the news or read the newspaper for about 5 minutes. That's all it'll take. When the mayor of a city in Mississippi instructs the police to go to a church having an outdoor service with windows up and instructs the police to write $500 tickets to every individual in every car, don't tell me we're not losing our freedom. He said, well, he would rescind all the tickets. He said that after he got sued. He said that after the United States Attorney General came out and said no government agency can regulate or mandate anything to a church. It's amazing to me that these who are running around trying to restrict freedom of religion are those that so often scream and holler separation of church and state. And it's easy to holler that when it fits your agenda, but when something else is going on, there are many who have ignored it. He lost his discernment, he lost his freedom, but he also lost his vision. And the Bible tells us that they put out his eyes. That's where we're at today. We've lost a vision of God. We've lost a vision of the things of God. We've lost our vision of the importance of the Word of God. That's because we've lost our discernment. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Not only do we note the consequences of Peter and Jonah and Samson, but also the servants. The Bible said while they slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Sadly, many today have grown weary in well-doing. It's right to do well. It's right to be obedient, but many have grown weary in well-doing. And as a result of them growing weary and well-doing, they've fallen asleep. And while they were sleeping, the enemy has sowed tares among the wheat. The problem with sleeping is we're not alert and we're not aware of our surrounding. I'm most of the time a pretty sound sleeper. A few years ago when I was out in Missouri, we had a group coming in and I decided to sleep on the couch. They were coming in at kind of an odd time, a late hour, and I decided to sleep on the couch. And I could get up and let them in. We had a gymnasium. We're going to let them sleep in the gymnasium. And I'd get up and let them in the gymnasium. They could sleep, and then they would be in our services the next morning. The next morning came. I was still on the couch, hadn't heard a thing. I got to the church and I was wondering if the group had showed up, and one of the men came and said, hey, the group's in the gym. And I said, well, how'd they get in? He said, they called me. He said, they banged on your door and you didn't hear them. Why? Because because we're not aware of the surroundings going on around us. That's the problem today in churches just like this. We got a lot of folks that are sleeping, and because they're sleeping, and it's not a bad thing because they've grown weary and well doing, but they're sleeping, and because they're sleeping, things are happening right in front of us and we don't even know it. That's how a governor can sign a law on Good Friday allowing men to go in women's restrooms. People of any moral character at all in this state ought to rise up and say, enough's enough, knock it off. We're tired of the nonsense. He ought to be impeached now for breaking his oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. He's a vile, wicked man. He's the most wicked governor in the country. You say, well, what if he showed up? He'd have a front row seat and I'd say the same thing. How do people like that get in office? I'll tell you why. Good people don't vote. You better get out at the next election and make your voice heard, because this is going to continue to happen as long as good people sit at home. This is not a day to be sleeping, because there's an enemy walking about, sowing tares among the wheat and seeking whom he may devour. Not only do we consider the consequences of Peter and Jonah and Samson and the servants, we consider the consequence of the virgins. Though both slept, the wise and the foolish. The foolish procrastinated. And because of the procrastination, they missed the bridegroom. We understand there'll be many that will miss the bridegroom because of procrastination. Understand the consequences of procrastination is many will miss the bridegroom and they'll spend eternity in the flames of hell. What a sad thought that is. Having to hear the Lord say one day, I know you not. What a catastrophic consequence. Screaming throughout eternity for just one drop of water. Now we've considered the crisis. We've considered the cause. We've considered the consequences. Let's consider finally this morning the cure. It may be obvious by now what the cure is, but we'll go back to the text we opened up with in Romans chapter 11, or chapter 13, and verse 11. The Bible says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Understand, it's right there in Scripture what we need. What's the cure? We need to be aware of the time. I believe we're living in the last days. I don't believe this is time to be sleeping. I think this is the time to be sober, to be vigilant, because there's an adversary out there. We need to know the time. We need to wake up. Amen? We need to be awakened out of sleep. We need to wake up. We need to cast off the works of darkness. We need to walk honestly. And we need not make provision for the flesh. Now let me close. And asking just a few questions. Have we become independent from God? Let's be honest. It's real easy to push the cruise control button or to flip the autopilot switch. And we go through the motion, completely independent from God. Have we become inconsistent? Are we showing inconsistencies in the things of God, in the work of God? Have we become inconsistent? Are we being obedient to the Word of God? Understand, we should never assume that God is going to be pleased or that God will bless our normal. Truth is, many are fearful today. We've grown fearful of a virus. We've grown fearful about what people might think. But may we be reminded as to what the Bible tells us that we're to be fearful of. For the Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hopefully, this virus, this sickness, will bring us to a new normal. A normal that is honoring. A normal that is pleasing to God. A normal that depends upon God. A normal that's consistent to the things and the work of God. A normal that's obedient to the Word of God. I submit to each of us this morning, it's time to wake up. It's high time to wake up.